Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Truck Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Guy. This is episode number 4 of our second season, and we are so glad to have you along as our listeners. The Truck Guy Podcast is your dirt road ride to fresh inside takes on the latest truck news and test drives, some how-to tips, and probably a dose or two of high-octane opinion. In this episode, we're hitting the road with Derek McNaughton. He is an Ottawa-based journalist with an eye for pickup trucks and, thanks to works in construction, is inclined to use the things for which they are intended. Derek and a colleague recently spent over 5,500 kilometers behind the wheel of a new Toyota Tundra, well, two of them actually, making the epic journey down from Whitehorse to Toronto over the span of about a week. So ride along as he describes the differences between Toyota's new hybrid powertrain and its regular gasser, what he thinks about the truck's new interior and some edges it has over its competition, and what it was like driving alongside bison in the wilds of Yukon Territory. All that's coming up in the next half hour on the Truck Guy Podcast.
This is the Truck Guy Podcast with your host, Matthew Guy.
Derek, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Doing fantastic, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I should say welcome back to the show, because you were on during season one as well, so thank you for coming back. I guess, you know, didn't treat you too badly or anything?
No, it didn't hurt me. Didn't embarrass me too badly.
No, that's fantastic. And there's been, you know, you've had a lot of adventures still with Toyota Trucks since you were here last time. And this time around, you've just finished a epic 5,500 kilometer journey from the Tundra to Toronto, really, in a Tundra. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. It was, I think epic is the right word to describe that trip. It was a long, long haul. I miscalculated. I thought it was going to be 6 days of driving, and it was actually 7. And I didn't realize that until I was on the trip. And I was like, wait a minute. I started doing the 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 7 days. Because I guess I was calculating 6 nights, which it actually was. So anyways.
You're calling home to the family saying, no, I'm not going to be home till Friday. Sorry, you're on your own.
Exactly. It was 5,648 kilometers total, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, long haul. And it was $2,400 in fuel.
That's incredible. So you guys were driving, there were two of you, right? There was yourself and a colleague, and you were driving a Tundra TRD Pro, which would have been a hybrid, right?
Correct. That's the hybrid. Yeah. The TRD Pro only comes in a hybrid now. Yeah. So the backstory is there was Toyota Canada got two prototype trucks right at the very beginning of the Tundra's new development. So they got two prototype trucks. There was a TRD Pro, an orange solar octane one, and a green SR5 with the TRD off-road package. It was the long box, so Crewmax with a 6.5 box. That configuration you can only get in 22 models. A lot of people complained before you couldn't get a long box with the Crewmax. Now you can. It's nice because it gives you a really long wheelbase. These two trucks were the two prototype trucks that were given to Toyota Canada to kind of do some development, some media work, all that kind of thing. And then Howard and Stephen Elmer, the guys from Truck King, they had previously taken some older Tundras up to Labrador in a test of endurance to see how they could do. And in when the new ones came out, they said to Toyota Canada, look, you know, these trucks are supposed to be just as tough as the old. Why don't you let us take them from Vancouver up to the Arctic Ocean, up through Nunavik?
Wow.
So yeah, that was an epic journey for sure. And they did that very early spring. I think it was late March. So they took the trucks, a long journey. It's all on Truck King's website, on their YouTube channel. And then the trucks ended up there relatively unscathed. You know, some rock chips, the windows, the windshields took a bit of, a couple of hits because most of the Dempster Highway is all gravel. So
exactly. I can only imagine. I mean, that whole Dempster Highway with trucks and tractor trailers coming towards you. And
Yeah. It's quite a road actually. And the building of the road is quite an accomplishment in itself. It's a story unto itself, you know, right over the tundra, you know, can't remember how many zillion tons of gravel actually went down on it, but, a pretty neat story. And so the boys took the trucks up there and then they brought them back to Whitehorse. And that's where they kind of left them. And they said, and they were just caked in mud, just like they were not solar octane anymore, or they weren't green anymore. They were Arctic brown.
Arctic. So, that's a new color for 2024.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have desert tan. Now they've got Arctic brown. And so Toyota was going to just flat deck the trucks back to Toronto. And then they said, wait a minute, maybe we can get some, there's got to be somebody stupid enough to take these, to drive these trucks back. And that's when they thought of me. So, So they contacted, us and said, look, do you guys want to bring these trucks back from the Arctic? And originally I was thought, you know, no way, that is like, that's painful. That's just like, you know, pour vinegar in my eyes. So, but you know, then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, actually that might not be a bad road trip, you know, and everybody's busy of course. And I thought, well, can I make the time to do this? And so I called my friend and colleague, Jeff Wilson, who writes for Trader, and said, look, Jeff, would you want to do this? There's two trucks up there. Toyota needs them back. Do you want to go on this epic, could be an epic drive. We don't know.
And they have no idea, right? This is uncharted.
Yeah, it is. And so he kind of like, let me sort this out. You know, he sort of jumped at the opportunity. So then I was thinking, I talked about it with family and they're like, why wouldn't you go? This is like a really great opportunity. I just thought, my original thought was like, oh, that's just so much time behind the wheel. But then it was like, well, you know, this is a pretty special kind of trip, and it goes through places that a lot of people, you know, pay a lot of money to, you know, the Alaska Highway is just something else altogether. And sure enough, so I accepted, you know, let's do this. We figured, did all the logistics, flew up to Whitehorse, picked up the trucks at the dealership. They were all clean and prepped, and the guys were telling me how dirty they were and how hard it was to get all the mud out. They spray washed them for days and they finally got them all clean.
They must have had to chisel off some of the mud. It must have been inches.
It really was. And even after they had them up on the hoist and they pressure washed them for hours, there was still mud, you know, in places there shouldn't have been mud. But the trucks held up well on that journey. So now it was a question of bringing them back and just, you know, how are they going to hold? This was all going to be highway on the way back, but it's the long haul. And, you know, the truck is brand new. These are prototype trucks. There's been, you know, a couple of quirks with the truck, you know, just minor kind of issues. So we weren't really worried about the durability or anything, but it was also a chance to really get to know the behavior and the mileage of these trucks and to see some spectacular scenery. And in that front, it didn't disappoint, because the trip from Whitehorse down to Dawson Creek is like, it was literally like being dropped into the land the time forgot. You could not believe just like the spectacular scenery. Everywhere you look, there was no people, there was no hydropoles, there's no, just a road and hardly any traffic at that time of the year. It was late April, early May. And it was just, we couldn't believe how much, you know, there's caribou, there's moose as we got farther down to Ontario, but up north, you know, it's wild bison, elk here.
Just there on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's like, did we just kind of get transported back 1,000 years? It shouldn't be like this.
I would say that other than the road that you were driving on, there was probably no human-made items within your vision. Nothing. At times.
Like all we could see is trees, wow, rivers, and mountains, and just, you know, and then when we stopped to take a few photos, there'd be some wild fox running by. No, but it was the first two days were the most spectacular scenery I've ever seen. Anybody?
Yeah. I can't just Walt Disney eat your heart out, right? Just so much nature and
so much. Wow. And anybody who's even thinking about the drive, don't hesitate. Just go do it. It's crazy. Yeah. Just be careful on the fuel. We had to be a bit mindful, you know, where we filled up. And the stretch from Whitehorse down to Dawson, there isn't a whole lot in between. We stayed at a place called Liard Hot Springs. It is an actual, natural hot springs there. And we went in and they were like super hot. It was like, you know, a bit sulfury, but holy smokes. And the province has made it into a little sort of pocket park. It's really kind of a nice space. And yeah, and we stayed with the Native Reserve has a little log cabin there that we stayed in. So it was really quite unique. Yeah, a lot of character there.
And you're still pretty far north because you would have, like, even though you traveled probably 700 or 800 kilometers on that first day.
Yeah, we were just on the very sort of northeast tip of BC at that point. And then, you know, through the rest of BC and then into Alberta was a pretty good drive. That was very interesting. But then you get into Saskatchewan, which is also kind of epic in its own way because it's just so flat. It's just so vast. The sky is so big and it was really quite majestic and the sunsets were beautiful. And then you get Manitoba, which is, that's a bit of a grind. It's tough. It's flat. Mm-hmm. As far as you can see, there's not a lot to see really. Well, yeah. And because it was early spring, like it was all just fallow fields, right? So it was just all dirt. So as far as it's literally like crossing the outback, I think, in Australia, you know, so just dirt, no, hardly any trees or anything. So, and then when you get into Northern Ontario and you think, oh, we're in Ontario, we're not too far from Toronto. Well, you realize how vast Ontario is. But when you get into Northern Ontario, it's like, wow, you realize how much you miss the trees. And then, all around the top of Lake Superior is really just so majestic. Beautiful, beautiful places up there.
Just fantastic. That whole Canadian Shield just looks fantastic. We're going to take a quick break to hear from a sponsor. When we come back, we're going to talk about the trucks. I look forward to it.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back with Derek McNaughton, who has traveled 5,640 kilometers, all the way from the tundra down to Toronto in two tundras. So the TRD Pro had the hybrid, and the SR5 off road had the non-hybrid gasser. What were your impressions, Derek? Like between the two engines, like in terms of power, like was the hybrid faster accelerating, say, to 100, or did it have more passing power, or what's your take?
When you look at the numbers, the TRD Pro hybrid, 437 horsepower, 583 pound-feet of torque, compared to 389 horsepower and 479 in just the regular gas truck. So Jeff and I were quite curious on just how quick these trucks would be against each other, and we did a couple of drag races from 0 to 100, and those trucks were neck and neck right to the finish to 100 kilometers every single time. So That was pretty cool. But
interesting,
where the hybrid really kicks in is in the passing range. So when you get, when you go out to pass somebody, you know, if you're doing 80, 90 and you want to get past somebody, the 80, 90 to 130 sort of range, that thing is just pulls and pulls super, super well. And you're really impressed with the power. And you notice it when you go to pass with the regular gas truck. Now, yeah, both trucks feel just as smooth, you know, when it's the 10-speed transmission works so well with that engine. Really good. It's, the pairing is perfect, actually. I don't know. Nobody's made any complaints. I love the feel of it. But that's where you really notice the power of the hybrid. And that hybrid is set up to deliver it's not for fuel economy so much. It's more for the power. And they've said that right out of the gate. They never said, you know, look, we're trying to be, you know, super efficient with this hybrid. No, it's all meant for the power. Sandwich between, you know, the engine and transmission. It's meant for power. And it does deliver. And it would be good, you know, the torque numbers, I think, you know, jump a little earlier if you're off-roading with the Pro as well. So that's a big benefit. And then if you're towing, the hybrid's also a bit more of a benefit there too. And around town, you'll notice a bit better gas mileage for sure, yeah, because that's when the hybrid can actually do its thing. Out on the highway, the hybrid's not really doing very much. And we notice that in the fuel economy.
Interesting. So what was that like? How did the fuel economy shake out? Because I can get you what you're talking about, because you have that extra power on the highway, but around town the hybrid can do its thing and chip in a little bit more while you're accelerating into traffic or whatever. But on the highway, you were finding that they were about par, or
what? Yeah, so that's what we thought they'd be very close. Now the Pro, you got to remember, it's got a little bit bigger tires, the truck's a little bit wider, it's a little taller, it's a little less aerodynamic. The SR5's got a deployable front spoiler, which helps with aerodynamics a little bit. All these little things. So after the first day, we noticed we got about 12.2-ish or in range with the gas truck, and we got 14.2 liters per 100 with the Pro. So a higher consumption with the Pro. Again, you know, part of it's the, you know, the shape, the tires of the truck. Tires make a huge difference. That consumption is based on speeds of about 120, 130-ish kind of thing. That's because up north, there's no traffic. As far as you can see is a straight line sometimes. So, you know, we were able to, you know, make some good speeds there. But then once we got into Northern Ontario, and, you know, Ontario is a bit more draconian with its speed limits, and, you know, it's 80, 90 sort of thing, and we were stuck to, you know, 100 or lower, we noticed a pretty big improvement there. The hybrid would actually kick in sometimes at 80 to 90, you know, 100, if you're, you know, so coasting on a flat or maybe even a little bit downhill. So that's when we saw an improvement on both trucks. The gas truck would drop to below, into the 10-ish range, and then the hybrid would drop into the 11-ish range. Definitely an improvement as you went along. And then I think if you did just highway and you're really careful, you can definitely get into the 10s with the hybrid, and you can get probably into the 9s with the gas. I've seen other people get in, you know, the high 9s with the hybrid too. But again, a lot of it depends on tires. Aerodynamics play a big part. The more interesting thing on the two trucks, like, yeah, gas mileage of something. So the Pro, a little bit more thirsty. But in terms of ride comfort, because the Pro is a really great ride, it's a nice dynamic, you know, it feels good, it rides really well, it feels really alive, it's very responsive. The SR5 with the off-road package didn't feel that kind of same way, but on a highway trip, it was more comfortable. Partly, again, tires, it comes with these Michelin LTX, which are a bit softer. But it also has that long wheelbase. So both Jeff and I kept saying when we switched, because we switched trucks every day, when we got into the other truck, we're like, wow, I can't believe how comfortable the SR5 is on these roads. It was just a really comfortable truck. That's not to say it's better than the Pro, because the Pro, I like driving the Pro. I never got tired, never got drowsy. It just always felt more dynamic. The SR5, but was definitely more comfortable. It just is, wow, this is a really soft, you know, good ride. It's, the off-road package does give you the Bilstein shocks that I think it makes a big difference.
And all those little things add up, the longer wheelbase and Toyota is smart. You know, they're listening.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. That's a really nice configuration. And like I said, yeah, it gives you a longer wheelbase, which is nice. I bought a 22 as well, and I would have bought the longer, the Crew Max with the long box, but it wouldn't fit my garage.
That is a consideration.
You know, the SR5 is a great truck. It doesn't come with the 14-inch screen, multimedia screen, which it really is a great system. Ours, these were pre-production trucks, so there was a couple of glitches here and there with those trucks. You know, I have to admit, I own a 22 Limited, and I've had zero issues with that screen, with my connection issues. Once you're connected, you know, you get in, it says, welcome, Derek, you know, and it's got a really nice, if you just press the button, you can say, hey, Toyota, where's the nearest Tim Hortons? And it'll say, you know, it'll show you on the map and it'll highlight it for you. Do you want to go there? Yes. And then away you go. And we used it a couple of times. We use Google Maps mostly on the way across, and we use the big screen on the TRD Pro to sort of lead us the way. And it's nice having that big monitor. Now, you don't get that with the SR5. You have to step up to the Limited to get that big screen. It's too bad, because good size, and it's easy to see and operate.
And it's neatly integrated. And there are definitely some vehicles out there that perch that have the iPad on the dash type look. And I know this one, the big screen sticks up a little bit from those vents that are on each side of it.
All they needed to do, like it does, but they could have integrated it before. Because if you look at the shape of the Tundra, it's got all these sort of, you know, flat lines, and then they're just angled on both sides. If they'd have done that with that screen at the top, it would have fit much more. It would have looked like, oh yeah, it was built for the Tundra. But they're going to be using this for other vehicles too.
Yes, the parts are always scattered amongst the empire, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's you know, we learned a lot about those two trucks. The TRD Pro, you know, it is a great truck. Does a lot. You get a lot of extras. You know, pretty good for off-roading for sure.
Did you grab any attention from passersby when you were stopping, like with the TRD Pro?
Crazy. Every town we stopped in, you could see people, you know, dropping their coffees, looking at us, you know, what the heck is that? And, you know, people coming up to us, oh, is that the, you know, the new Tundra? Partly because it's a brand new truck. It's been so long in the making. I mean, Matthew, you and I both know this was like the longest gestation in history. The last truck was 2000. I was on the launch of the 2007 Tundra, and I was like, this is a great truck. I really liked it then. And then we kept thinking, you know, okay, 2014 is going to be a brand new truck. It's the same truck. I mean, Gen 2.5, sure, but, you know, some new headlights and things like that. But, you know, up until this year, it's been the same truck since 2007. That's got to be the longest, the oldest truck. But, you know, that's Toyota recouping their development costs, right? And the new truck will probably run maybe not quite as long, because I think they realize people – the competition moves too fast. If you look at the new Sierra, you know, that's a really nice truck. You know, and in some ways, a lot of people say the new Tundra is just caught up to the competition. And I'd say they have, for sure. They've caught up, and they passed it in a few areas. But they, you know, there's still a few things that they could do. The biggest gripe, I think, for a lot of people is, I think dependability, reliability, and quality, which have always been, you know, a Toyota and a Tundra hallmark. I think those will continue for sure. I have zero issues with mine since I've had it in January. And resale too. Like, it's crazy that, you know, what Tacomas are selling for now.
Reliably, you could have always and will always, I think, get a fortune for a Toyota truck.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, they're, you know, you go back to the Top Gear issue where they tried to kill the Toyota truck and they just could not kill it. It was indestructible. You know, it's one of the best issues ever. But you know, just speaking to the Tundra in general, it's a good work truck. Where they kind of, you know, missed is, and people have complained about this, is, you know, there's getting access to the bed. This is where the competition is just really, you know, killing, you know, or not killing, it's where they really beat Toyota. There's no access to the rear bed. You know, a lot of guys that own trucks are older. They're like me, you know, they're 40s, 50s, and like there's no bed step. If you look at Chevy's corner bed steps, that's brilliant. You know, it's super easy to get in and out of the bed. Ford's
got there's no moving parts.
Moving parts with Ford's bed step, but the GM one is brilliant. And so Toyota's answer is to have this little kick step, but you only get the kick step on the Platinum in the 1794 version. You don't get it on the Limited and all the other trucks, all the work trucks from the highest end down. You don't get them. You know, there's no way. So getting in and out of bed, because they redesigned the bumper, so there's no place to step to access the bed. It's my only gripe about the truck, if I have a gripe. That's that. That's it.
I think you're right. I think that there's definitely some room. And I think, you know, we'll see that. Toyota's pretty good at listening. So there might be, you know, some innovations there in the bed, in the box area coming up in the next couple of years. There is one cool thing that I do like back there. They've got that little button on the tail light.
That's
on the
nice.
Driver's side tail light.
Yep, it's pretty nice. I use that a lot, actually.
I bet you do.
I got my hands full. I use my truck for work. I'm putting stuff in the back. I just, you know, hit it with my elbow, drop it in. The other nice thing is, and so far it's been quite good, is the box is a composite box. So, you know, hard plastic, just like they use in the Tacoma. Very slippery without a bed mat. But with a bed mat, it's fantastic. So
that's cool.
It's lighter. It won't rust.
And Toyota does the full drop of the rear window too, which is
I cannot
fathom why no one's copied that.
Well, and it could be copyright issues, or it's actually kind of difficult to build a cab that has that. Well, apparently, I've been told. So, but it is one of the hallmarks of the Tundra. I use that every time I drive. Side windows down, the rear window open. It feels like kind of almost semi convertible. The air flows through so nicely.
That's one of the best. That's one of the greatest
design features for sure. The other day I had to carry some 16-foot boards. I didn't have my trailer, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do? So put the window down, and I've got a cover on my bed, so I could slide them into the front, and then I secured them. You know, flipped the back open a little bit. I tie it down into the bed, and I tie it down into the cab. And it's not the safest, but in a pinch, and that's all. I didn't have to move it very far. You can move long things in a pinch.
Exactly, and it's not a male slot of a window like in some other trucks.
Yeah, exactly. I almost use it as a point of pride when I'm ahead of like a Ram or a Chevy. I like to just power down the window in there, and you can see them in the cab going, "Look at the window."
Hey guys, look at this. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. That's what we do with our trucks. We show them off.
Yeah.
And in your case, drive them from the Yukon to Toronto. So well done on that. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. It was I'm glad I did it in the end. It was we did have one little issue. That we went out to pass, and all of a sudden there's all, you know, through a bunch of check engine lights. And we were a bit worried because there had been, it's been resolved, but there had been some turbocharged wastegate actuator issues on, I guess a bad batch of parts got in, and some actuators, you know, were problematic in some trucks. No idea how big the issue is. It doesn't seem very big, you know, several hundred, but there has been no reports of that issue since sort of, I think, April. But when it happened to us, I thought, oh, maybe this is the wastegate actuator issue. It turned out it was the grill shutters in the front, which are meant to also help with fuel economy. And those grill shutters got clogged with some dirt at some point, probably, you know, Stephen and Howard.
When they driving up there, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, caked with mud. So they kind of jammed up, and then, but we got it fixed at Toyota dealership in Dawson Creek. They were fantastic, took care of us, and they sprayed out the grill shutters. They reset the computer, and we are good to go. And there was no issues after that all the way home. And again, these were pre-production trucks, so you know
exactly right. I mean, they are pre-pros. They're not.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, they for pre-pro trucks, they did really, really well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for telling us about the trip, regaling us with your stories, and we really, really appreciate it.
Oh, you're most welcome. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Matthew.
Yes, you too, sir. We'll best of luck now, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
That was Derek McNaughton, truck journalist and now long-distance driver. So be sure to check out his story about that journey over on driving.ca and find photos of his trip on his Instagram page, at McNaughton Derek. You know, the new Tundra is certainly a quantum leap over the old one, especially since the old truck was around for the better part of 15 years. And it's interesting how the hybrid technology seems to manifest itself in power gains in some driving conditions and fuel economy in other driving conditions. It just goes to show how a brand like Toyota, which has got decades of experience with hybrid tech, can squeeze the best out of an engine in more ways than one. But that's our episode. Big thanks to this week's guest, Derek McNaughton, our producer, Adam Foster, and to all the listeners for joining us on the Truck Guy Podcast. Be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in truck reviews, videos, and breaking news. And while you're there, use the site's comparison tool for head-to-head shopping and sign up for the Blind Spot newsletter. That'll be delivered to your inbox featuring a roundup of the week's most important automotive news. And be sure to subscribe to the Truck Guy Podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, so you can listen to this truck-loving Newfoundlander and his guests tell a few stories while talking about pickup trucks and 4x4s. Thanks for listening.